Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
All right, welcome to episode number, landmark episode number 43. That sounds like an important number, right? That's a lot. It's more than 42.
It is more than 42 for sure.
Yeah. So welcome to episode number 43 of the Career Author Podcast. I am your main man, your lead host, Zach Bohan. And with me, as always, from good old Cleveland, Ohio, is Jay Thorne. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, nothing much. Just I'm here, man. I am here and I'm good. As I told you, I saw the new Halloween last night.
So, yeah.
And it was good. I went in with very low expectations because it's my favorite horror movie of all time, the original. And they didn't disappoint. So
nice. Yeah.
So what's up in your world, brother?
No, just chugging just along. Just this. It's Monday afternoon as we're recording this, and hanging in there, man. Just trying to do what we do.
Right on. Yep, year will be over soon, and yeah, we got a big year planned next year, so it'll be fun. So
yep, we're gonna make it happen no matter what.
So today's podcast, speaking of making it happen, today our topic is it a dream or a goal? And I think based off some interaction that Jay and I had in our Google Doc for this episode, it's going to be really interesting. And that'll be a little teaser for everyone listening so you can figure out what the hell that means.
I just hope that you don't think I'm a bigger dick than I regularly am by the end of the episode.
That's impossible. I talked to you in Slack all day, so I couldn't figure, like, I couldn't think you were a bigger dick than you.
Excellent. We got nothing to lose.
So we're all good. So, I don't really know how to transition from that. So I guess I'll just say it. So, the Career Author Podcast is brought to you by all our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com. And we want to remind you that for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Career Author Podcast and gain access to our two monthly bonus episodes, which includes our movie analysis of we actually, spoiler alert, we just recorded The Shining right before this one. So a little back behind the scenes for you. So we'll have The Shining going up this month, and you'll, of course, if you join now, you'll get access to all, this is our 10th one, you said, right? I believe it was.
So 10th movie. Yeah.
So you'll get access to the previous 9 as well as The Shining when it goes live, as well as our Amazon product page makeovers, which we do every month as well. So head on over to patreon.com/thecareerauthor and check out if you want to consider supporting us. And we want to give a shout out to our newest patrons this week, and that would be Raymond Kennedy and Michael Robbins. Oh, Michael.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. So, and as I said, just a reminder that The Shining is our movie this month, so we will have that up.
Yeah, and a little nod to Michael, who was with us in Pittsburgh. So
that's what I was trying to get at, and then you just go, yeah, like you didn't want me to mention that or something.
Oh, all right. No, I did want to mention that.
No, Mike was awesome.
And he was with us in Chicago back in May for Somewhere Book Show Summit, right? So
I don't believe Mike was at that.
Oh, he wasn't at that one?
No, I don't think so. One of us is a dick right now.
I'm getting my mics messed up.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe I am. Shit, Mike, now I'm gonna have to. Now I'm
Mike
to
Robbins
look.
is the dude from
No,
Alaska.
You're actually right. I'm thinking of a different Mike. So that was there. So no, you are correct. I was the dick there. So yes, this is Mike. Yeah, you're totally right. Oh my God, I got my mics mixed. Yeah.
Let's just agree that we're both dicks. And
can
just
we just
move
start
on.
This episode over? That'd actually be even better. Actually, no, you know what I'm going to do to make up for it? I'm going to say that if you are a fan of zombie books, you should go read M.A. Robbins, which is Mike, his awesome zombie series, which now I am a dick because I don't remember the name. But I think it's like Undead Worlds or something. No, that's something else. Oh my God, I'm just rolling.
All right, I'm going to help him out. Go listen to the Reanimated Writers podcast this week because our other buddy, RJ Spears, interviews M.A. Robbins about zombies on the podcast. So go listen to that.
God. Yeah. And what's funny is I think Undead Worlds is something that Randy has to, like, RJ has to do with. So no, the Zombie Uprising series. That's what Mike's book series is called. It's awesome. Now I'm putting a link into it in the show notes.
Just to make up for it.
No, Mike's cool, man. He knows he knows what's up.
Of course.
So, all right. So after that debacle, I guess I'll make my announcement now that I look like an asshole.
So, good timing on this.
So, I have decided, I'm not going to go as far as saying by popular demand, but I have gotten like several emails about this and telling me that I should offer something like this. And Jay has told me the same thing now for a while. So I'm finally doing this. Yeah. So, I'm announcing to, and this isn't something that I'm doing, like, I'm not going to be going out and putting Facebook ads and trying to get a bunch of people to jump on this. Like,
no webinars with 4,000 people.
No webinars, nothing. This is basically something I just want to offer to our audience. And if people here are interested in it, which several have reached out and said they are, cool. But basically I am offering my Amazon product page makeover analysis as a service now. So, for anyone who hasn't seen those episodes, and you can watch the first one for free, actually, correct, on the Patreon page.
Yep.
I'm kind of the one that leads those episodes, and basically I will look at your Amazon product page for any one of your books that you want, and I will basically analyze it for you and give you my opinion on what things are working for you and what's not, from, you know, your cover. Like, is your cover, does it resonate with your genre? Is it a good cover? Is it marketable? Your title, is your title strong for the type of book you've written? Your product description, which that's more of a Jay thing. And I'll get to that in a second as well. But then look at your categories, your keywords, like, help you come up with correct, because keywords is one of those things I think a lot of people just type stuff in there. And I found that from doing these episodes. And my phone's ringing. Hold on. I have it on silent, but God, spam call. Sorry. There we go. We're totally pro here. So, but your keywords, like, a lot of people just type in keywords, like, when they're doing their KDP account, and like, we've had several that have been like that, but no, you need strong keywords that will help you in the search engines, because Amazon is a search engine. All these things I'll give you a full analysis. You'll get a video that shows me, like, breaking it down and everything. You'll get my notes I take, all that good stuff. So I'm offering that, and as well as, we have a couple of add-ons. There's one add-on where you can also get a 30-minute Skype with me, after I break it down, so you can ask questions, like, all that kind of stuff. And there's another add-on as well where Jay, if you just know your product description needs to be redone, like, Jay will rewrite your product description for you, which he's really, really good at. If you want to get all three of those things, there's like a complete package where you save, I think, like $30. Anyways, if that's something that sounds really cool to you and interesting and something you're interested in, go to theauthorcopilot.com/Zach, and that's ZACH. And all the information is there, and you can purchase it right there on the page. I'll get in touch with you and we'll hook it up. So
yeah. And this is something that our listeners know, if they've been patrons, at how good you are at not just like post-apoc dystopian horror, but all genres, looking to see and being able to tell how the cover works and how the keywords work. And you're really good at that. And I feel like that, you're going to lose money if you don't get this service, and if you're not seeing sales.
Absolutely.
Right now, because yeah, your book, your cover, your keywords, your title could be costing you money. So this is the type of thing where, especially for first book in a series, it could earn your money back, you know, tenfold over the course of a year, just by making, and I say just, but by making these changes to your product page, because any one of those items could be causing your book not to convert. And Zach is really good at zeroing in on all those details and telling you what you need to fix and what can stay. And it's well worth it. I hope people take you up on it.
and this isn't something I thought about until you just said something, but I'll just throw this out there too. I'll offer this service as well to people who, if you don't have a book up yet, like what we've been doing is we've been doing pages that people already have up and maybe their book isn't selling as well. And then it gives them an opportunity to revamp it. But if you have all these elements and you haven't put your book up yet, like, but you want me to look at your cover and look at your title and like look at your product description stuff before you go to market and help you get keywords, I'm totally open to do that too. So like we, you know, it's just, again, you can just go to the authorcopot.com/Zach and get all the details and I'll have
and that'll
that
save you so much time and aggravation, especially if it's new, if it's a new title and you're not sure.
Absolutely.
And I know like, I know Zach's not going to be doing webinars. He's not scaling this to a, you know, a six-figure business. But at the same time, I think it's safe to say if you don't need the service right now, but you want to pass along that link
yeah,
or tell someone
sure.
else about it, you, there's nothing wrong. Like you don't have to keep it a secret. He's just saying he's not going to be like all over Facebook ads, you know, pimping.
Yeah, that's just not my thing. Like I just like, and I just want to, like, I don't want to make this my full-time thing, but like, I do want to help people, especially people who are in our audience. So,
yep.
And I'm not like this, I'm also like, this isn't something I'm charging arm and a leg for. So, you know, but yeah, so just go check it out. And if you're interested, I'm again, I would love to help you guys out. So, cool.
Excellent. Right.
So with that, we'll go ahead and, Jay, you have a lifestyle hack this, or I guess you away. I'm sorry. Oh, I messed that up. A lifestyle way this week, correct?
I do. It's a bit similar to the one I did on batching, but it's not exactly the same. And I think it's a lifestyle way that can be applied in many different areas. It's not just about writing. So I can't think of a better way to describe it. I'll call it like pre-decisions or non-decisions. So we've talked about ways to minimize decisions in the past and ways to build systems that will that will then allow you not to have to make decisions. So here's something, and people are going to laugh at this, but like, we're kind of heavy metal dudes and there are like certain things we wear and certain things we don't. And people make fun of the camo shorts, right? Or like they're not making fun. Like it's all kind of our thing. And you know, Chicago is going to be full of camo in the springtime in May, the way it was last year. But the thing is, like, I basically have black t-shirts, a few white t-shirts, and I have like camo shorts, black shorts, and green
and three
shorts.
Three pairs of socks. All right?
Yeah, well, two. one of them is yours, and two of them are mine.
No, you have three pairs now. That's what I'm saying. I can get this back. Your son can wear them.
Oh, that's good. So the idea is like, I don't have to like make a decision about what I'm going to wear because it all goes together. And I know like it sounds like really juvenile. It sounds like granimals or something, but like if one of the things that you can do is just whether it's clothes or like things you have to do on a regular basis, maybe like grocery shopping. Is there a certain place you go to? But like creating these pre-decisions or non-decisions. So like, what am I going to wear is never a decision I have to make at any point because I've already structured it such that I don't have to make one. So I know that's a little bit vague and kind of close to the stacking one, but like, I think it's one that's often overlooked. And I think if you start looking for it in your daily life, you're going to start seeing it in a lot of different places.
Well, and this goes with the stacking one too, but like, you know, it doesn't just have to apply to clothes, obviously. I mean, I know that's what you're saying, but like, you know, this can be with like meals. Like if you know mm-hmm. what you're going to eat every day, like for each meal, you don't have to think about it. And then you don't end up like not being able to make a decision and be like, oh, I'm just going to run down the street and go to Wendy's and get a burger or something. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like you can right. make more intentional decisions that will save you willpower and, you know, help your health and your sanity in the long term.
So. Yeah, you can set up standing items on a calendar or to-do list. So like instead of like just cleaning the house when you find time for it, maybe like every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. I'm going to clean the house or I'm going to do the laundry or whatever. And so you don't have to think about it. You're not like trying to, where am I going to fit laundry in? Where am I going to, when am I going to do this?
You've already made the time.
It's just there. The system is there.
That's what I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For chores and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I do the same things at the same time every week. And that's not stacking, but it is sort of cutting down on the number of decisions that you have to make. So I think it's something can be, you know what it does is it amplifies, your free time, it amplifies everything because it's not a linear growth. Like once you start removing a lot of those little decisions, you get like exponential time back. And I think you'll feel it if you do it. It's not something you can necessarily measure.
Right on. I like it. Good job.
All right. Nice.
All right. So let's go ahead. And with that, we'll go ahead and move into our topic today, which is it a dream or is it a goal? And I think this could be, Jay's already smiling. He's already smiling. Let me get some context first of why this came up. So
I love where this came from. Yeah. Please
yeah.
Do.
So, like not too long, like months ago, Jay got me turned on to the Tim Ferriss podcast, and which we've referenced here a lot. And, I'm really into it and I listen to it every week. Like I love the show. But one thing I really hadn't done because he's up to like episode 370 or something. Like I haven't gone back and listened to a lot of the back episodes. So I've been doing that and I've been really picking through the ones that I really want to listen to. And then I'm kind of going back and I'll probably do some of the in-between ones later, but there's like certain people I see where I'm like, okay, I really like that person for a reason. And like, I want to watch that. Like, you know, I really liked Edward Norton's and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Of course, he's like my biggest like celebrity idol out of anybody. And if you laugh at that, you don't know his story because it's amazing. Dude was a millionaire before he even was an actor because he got into real estate. Like he's amazing. But another one that really came up that I thought was really cool was Triple H, the Paul Levesque, as he is known by his mother and father. But he's a multi-time WWE champion and stuff, and he basically runs the company now because he married Vincent Mann's daughter. Awesome dude, like really driven, like goal focused, like he's just awesome. And he had a really fascinating interview on Tim Ferriss's show, and I was on the treadmill last week listening to this, and there was something that he said that really kind of was like, oh, I was like, that'd be really cool for a podcast. So basically what he said was that I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said that, you know, a lot of people will say like, oh, well, that's my dream. And it's like, well, if dreams are only fantasizing, goals are something tangible you can work towards. So what he said was, you know, a lot, if you always just look at something as a dream, like it's just there as a dream. It's just something you're thinking about. Like if you say writing is my dream job, like I would love to be a writer. Okay. But what are you doing to actually make that happen and achieve that? And that was kind of the point of what he came up with. So, I thought it'd be interesting to just have like an episode to talk about kind of goal setting and, you know, things you can do to achieve your goal, which for a lot of people who listen to this podcast, that is to become a full-time writer. And as I was preparing this episode, I found out a very fascinating thing about Jay, which I kind of knew, but didn't really put in context. And that is that you hate
goals.
So Jay does not even like this. So he does not like setting goals. So
well, I think that's the distinction. Okay. I don't necessarily hate goals. I hate the act of goal setting. It's not the same thing.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
Okay. So we'll talk about that here in a second. So, but basically I kind of already laid out what I feel like, or what the difference between a dream and a goal is. A dream is something that you just fantasize about. A goal is something that's actually tangible that you can work towards and you've put those steps in place. So, a couple things that I kind of want to just talk about was, so what are some things that you can do to actually like, make goals and work toward your dreams? And, you know, I honestly wasn't much of a goal setter until I went through my big weight loss crusade in 2012. And that was when I kind of was like, okay, I want to actually write down some goals and I want to actually work towards them and make this tangible instead of just like, I'm just going to like go to the gym and I'm going to try to eat better. It was like, no, I want to actually have some tangible things. So, and I'm probably kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit, but So let me just go through my kind of my list here, and I'll get back to what I was saying. But basically, like, write down what you want to achieve. So like, I know you're pretty big, and this is kind of related. You like doing the affirmations thing from like the Miracle Morning, don't you? Or do you not? I can't remember.
Yeah. And yes. And it's not the same as goal setting.
It is a little different, but I think you can use that a little bit, like in the same way, which is why I brought it up.
Yep.
But basically, like, you need, like, I think it's really important to articulate your thoughts of what you want to achieve. Like, do you want to lose 50 pounds? Or write it down. Like, do you want to get your first novel done by Thanksgiving? Write it down. Like, I mean, it's really important for you to get them down and make it tangible right in front of you, so that it's not just floating around in your head, you know, because once you write it down, then you can kind of start to think about like a series of steps on how you're going to get there. But I think the act of writing it down is super, super important. Would you agree with that? Even somewhat. Though you hate goal setting? Somewhat.
Okay. I tell you what I really agree with is the fact that you must be intentional. You must absolutely be intentional in identifying what it is you want. And we're total agreement there.
Absolutely. So if you are someone who's really into goals, and this is where this conversation might get a little interesting, is that your goals should be measurable. Now, I want to have a caveat to this. So let me first say what I mean by your goals should be measurable is that you shouldn't just say, for instance, like, I want to write more. Because, like, what does that even mean? Like, what is more? Like, you want what more than what? You should say, like, I want to write for 30 minutes a day, Monday through Friday. Like, that's a much more tangible goal. And that's something that you can actually try to achieve. Like, you can then you can say, okay, well, now that I know how much I want to write and how, you know, writing 30 minutes a day will be more than I'm writing now, then I can set aside 30 minutes a day to write. Now, where I think this gets tricky and where I've changed, so I used to, like, my when I was really heavy in my weight loss, there was like, I want to lose this many pounds a week, and it worked for a while, but that can get really dangerous, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you don't start hitting that goal, same thing with writing. I think that I used to be really, really into, like, I want to hit this word count. Like, I have to hit this word count. I want to hit it. And days I didn't hit it, I felt like crap, you know. So I have kind of, the way I measure that now that has changed and helped me a lot is not necessarily like, I want to write, you know, I'm not going to say like, I want to write 3,000 words a day. I say, I want to be in the chair writing from this time to this time. And that's my goal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because, and it's not like, that's not a thing where I'm going to get stressed if I don't hit a certain number and I'm not putting the pressure on myself to hit that. But I'm in the chair. I'm making progress. That's what matters. I know you'd agree with that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So the way you measure goals, you know, can be a little bit different. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily be like, I want to lose this many pounds. I want to, like, write this many words. It can be just the act of, like, doing something and being intentional on when you're going to do it. Another thing is, set small goals. Like, a lot of people, you know, will set, like, you know, I want to write 5 novels this year, or I want to do this. And, like, you haven't even written one book. So, like, instead of saying, like, I want to write 5 novels this year and publish them, like, but you haven't really written anything. Like, how about you just, like, try to finish, like, one chapter or one act or one book, you know, and then, like, move on from there. Because it's a lot easier to stay motivated if you have smaller goals you're hitting along the way. Obviously, you can have, like, a long-term goal, but it's a lot easier if you have smaller things along the way that you're hitting. So you get little rewards along the way, you know. Like, I I'm going to go back to my weight loss. Like, I knew that, I wanted to lose about 100 pounds when I lost it. That was my long-term goal, but, like, that wasn't it. Like, I was like, you know, I broke it down. Like, I want to lose, like, a pound this week or 2 pounds this week, or I want to lose, like, 20 pounds in X amount of months. Like, you know, so I broke it down where I could, you know, try to stay focused and hit those goals. Anything you want to say there about smaller goals?
I everything you're saying is really good advice. It's really solid. I don't want the listeners to think that like I'm just going to totally shit on everything you just said. I have a related but slightly different perspective, but I think that for a lot of people, for many people, this is really helpful advice. So okay. I think it's great.
Yeah, and yeah. So I'll just keep going then, because we're gonna talk here in a minute about us individually. So I think it'll be good. So because again, these approaches aren't for everybody. Like setting goals is not for everybody. It's not a blanket thing for everyone. So, be intentional with your time. I think is super important. I think it's really important to ask yourself, does this activity get me closer to my goal? So a prime example of this for me is that when I started my weight loss crusade, and then I keep saying crusade like it was some epic thing. It was pretty epic.
Yeah, it was.
It was pretty epic. So when I lost all my weight, like, and I knew I wanted to do that, I broke down. I was like, okay, I need to have time to exercise. I need to have time to be able to actually cook meals. Like all this stuff it's no choice. Like I have to do this. So like what things in my life can I eliminate that aren't doing anything to get me towards that goal? And the big one was video games. So I, and as Jay knows, and as I've said on this podcast, like I freaking love video games. I'm a kid of the 80s. I grew up with Nintendo. Like I love video games, but it was like one thing in my life that was doing nothing for me. It was like, this is doing the opposite of getting me towards my goal. It's made me sit on the couch and do nothing. And so I eliminated it. And it wasn't until I, you know, achieved my goal of writing full time that I finally was like, okay, now I have like this extra time where really I can't write because I'm done. Like, so what can I do now? When writing used to be my escape, like my creative escape, like what can I do now to like kind of turn, you know, do my thing? And that's when I brought video games back in, you know, because like I love reading, but I work reading into my day schedule. Like, so that was something that I didn't really need to work, you know. So like, anyways, video games came back. So like, but the point is, be really intentional with your time. And because like I always say this, and I always said this to my clients when I personal train, when people tell me they don't have time for something, well, then it's not important to you.
Yes.
If you don't have time for it, like then you may like it's obviously not important to you. Like if something is important to you, you will make the time. You not find it. You won't find the time. You will make the time.
Correct.
You know,
and we all have 24 hours in the day. So we all have to decide what's important enough to dedicate our time to and what isn't. And absolutely, you're right. The things that you care about, you will, whether you consciously make those decisions or not, you are making those decisions.
Absolutely. You know, and so on that too, consistency is huge. Like, Jay, you use all the time the example of like, you know, I have every morning I have the same routine, and then I get down to my chair and it's the same chair. It's where I know I'm supposed to get my words in, and this is where I write. Like that's consistency.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the most common things I saw with training clients when I was doing that was like, people didn't want to work out at the same time every day. It was like, well, sometimes I do it before work, sometimes I do it after work. And like, that's fine on some days, I guess. Like if there's one, like if your work schedule is such where you can't, you know, you have to work out in the evening, like on Tuesday instead of in the morning, that's fine. But like every Tuesday you need to be there in the evening.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, you need to be consistent because your body, if you can work out the same time every day, or you can write the same time every day, or whatever the activity is, that is really, really good, because our brain and our bodies get trained to do that same activity every single day. That's super important. So if you can, that is ideal. But if you can't, then you know, be consistent. But I will challenge you this, like, and I'm just going to say it, but like, if you can't, if you're having trouble finding the time, or, you know, you can't get to the gym in the morning, wake up earlier. Like, and I know for some people, again, this is one of those things where some people are like, I don't know, but like, dude, I mean, I've talked to plenty of like single parents and stuff and like all that. And you wake up an hour earlier, like, you know, and it's not easy necessarily, but like, I mean, that's what I had to start doing when I lost all my weight. Like I went from like waking up at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. to get ready for work to waking up at 4 a.m. And it was just what I had to do, you know, because it was something that was important to me. So, So yeah, so being consistent is really important. And also kind of going back to some, this kind of goes back to the way a little bit, saving your willpower and having a plan will go long way to helping you achieve your goals. So, going back again to my weight loss, pre-making my meals and getting things to go the night before, made sure I had optimal time the next morning and made the right choices. So every single Sunday I would batch my meals and make everything for the week. So in the mornings, all I had to do was grab the correct container for the meal that day. Boom, yeah. I'm good to go. Conversely, like every single night before, I would like get my gym bag ready and stuff. So I just had to pick that up in the morning and didn't have to think about it. And I'm out the door with my gym bag. It had my, I'd wear my gym clothes, go to the gym, and then it had my change of clothes in it for work. And there's a lot of things you can do with that related to writing. Like we talk about a lot, you want to talk real quick, maybe since on this, like kind of things you do to prepare for the next day at the end of your days. You do like some specific things, right?
Like related to writing or just in
general? Yeah. Related to writing. Yeah.
I usually, like when I'm first drafting, this is the best example is right before I finish. I draft in the morning, right at the end of that session, I will look ahead at tomorrow's bullet points or story beats, and I'll think about them. And then I might, in the evening, look at them one more time, just glance at them, read them really quick, and then go to sleep. And that sort of plants the seed in my brain to be working on it overnight. And then when I hit the page first thing in the morning, like my fingers are just off, and I'm not like scrambling around trying to figure out what scene I'm supposed to write that day.
Absolutely. So yeah, and that's where I wanted you to go. So those are some examples of some things you can do to save your willpower and have a plan, because I mean, it's scientifically proven, like we only have so much willpower to make decisions throughout the day. So like the more you can set up for those to not have to make those decisions, like the better off you'll be. And especially as a creative, you want that willpower for your creative energy. So it's super crucial to make sure you, hold that sacred every day.
Yes. So, agreed.
So we're going to get into a little bit here. I just want to mention like a few goals that I had before I went full time, that kind of helped me get there. And so people kind of have some examples of kind of where my head was. So one of them, and this is kind of counterintuitive to where I was earlier, to something I said earlier. And again, this is not something I would do now, necessarily, but I think this could work for some people, is once I'd been maybe like, I don't know, maybe a year or so in publishing, like once I got, it was far enough along, and people have to remember, like I had first book success. So like it was, I realized pretty quick, like, okay, I could actually do this for a living. Mm-hmm. So once I kind of figured that out, one of my big things was like, one of my goals was like, I want to produce 5 books in a year. Like, cause I feel like the biggest thing I see among all my friends who are successful in writing, who are where I want to be, is they all have big backlists.
Yes.
Like 30, 40 books. So it was like, okay, I'm okay with playing the long game, but I kind of want to set a goal on how to get there. So if I can release 5 books a year, like I'll be in a pretty good spot. Which I think we're blowing that out the water this year.
I think so.
But so that was kind of like an early goal for mine. Again, like, I don't know if I would have that same thing now, because now it's more about just getting in the chair and writing. And if I'm doing that, I'm going to produce stuff. So like, it's, I don't have to really worry about a specific number, but, could be good for some people. Now two other goals I had that I still would stick with that I think are good is, I kind of knew like how much money that I needed to make a month to be able to do like replace my old income, and or maybe not even replace my old income, but like I could make even a little less and still be comfortable. I had a number that I knew I needed to make, and I wanted to make that number for like 6 months straight to show myself like, okay, I can do this. And I pretty much did achieve that. Like by the time I did quit, like I don't think it was exactly 6 months, but I was doing well enough each month where I was like, okay, I can totally sustain and do this. So that was a big goal for mine. And another one was I wanted to make sure that we had $10,000 in savings, to just to have it like as a mm-hmm. nest egg, just in case something happens, you know, I'm losing this main income and I'm going into something that's very shady. And it's important to know too, that my wife is a massage therapist. So her income kind of goes up and down too. So for us to have a nest egg is really important. I think for everybody to have a nest egg is super important. If you're not sure where to get started with finances and stuff, I know he's controversial, but my favorite financial book that helped me out a lot is The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And even if you're not into the total debt-free thing, there's still a lot of stuff in there that can help you. And his basic plan on how to get rid of debt and how to, steps you take before you even get to the point of saving money, and then to the point of investing money is like super important. So I would recommend that. I'll put a link in the show notes for anyone who's not familiar with it. But that was a big goal of mine, was to make sure we had like 10 grand in the bank. So we were good to go in case something happened. And I have needed it. So that was really good that we did that. So, so those were my main ones. So I had put on the sheet here for Jay to share some of his, but now I'm just gonna let you talk.
I'm a bit in the Ryan Holiday camp here, and if folks know, I'm a big fan of his. We're both fans of his, and he writes great stuff. And one of the things that he talks about is he's not a big fan of goals, and I'm not either. And this is why. So I'm basically, I have a goal. So like I knew at one point I wanted to be a full-time creative. I wanted to write stories every day instead of going to a job. All right. So technically that's a goal, right? Here's the big difference. And this is just the way my brain works, and other people are going to find this really odd. But what I do then is I say, okay, I do a bit of visualization. What does a career author look like? What do they do every day, day in and day out? And that is easy to find. Like, this is the internet age. You can go on and you can look at Instagram and blog posts. You can read, you can listen to podcasts. It's pretty easy to figure out what it takes to become a full-time writer. Now, the question is, are you willing to make those choices to do that? And that's, some people are and some people aren't, but it's not a mystery, right? So you talked about the back catalog. It's not a mystery that the people in our spheres who are making a living doing this have 20, 30, 40, 50 plus books. So I back up and I ask myself, like, am I going to set a goal to write 50 books? God, no, that would be so overwhelming. Am I going to set a goal to write one book? I won't, because then what if I hit it? And what if I had two or three books in me in that same amount of time, and I said I only wanted to get one book, and now I've subconsciously sort of sold myself short. So what I do, and I think this is what Holiday talks about, is I do some visualization and I say, all right, so what does someone who's writing full-time do every day? They fucking write. Okay. So like, and to me, it doesn't, this is where we kind of get into a gray area on sort of goal setting or not. Like, I've never been like, I have to hit this word count, or I've never been like, I need this many hours in the chair. I've never tracked my time. I've never like tracked my word count for the sake of productivity. Chris Fox's ears are burning right now. But what I've done is I've said, okay, a career writer writes. So every day I got to write. And there's this little, and I trust myself, and I think people should trust their guts more. There's this little inner voice that I know when I'm cheating myself or not. Like, I can sit down in a chair and I can write 100 words and go, okay, I wrote for today, but I know that's bullshit. Like, I know that's not going to be enough, right? Is it 1,000? Is it 2,000? I don't know, but I know when I feel it, right? So if I sit down and I bang out a bunch of words and like, and I get done and I look and I'm like, okay, I've finished two or three scenes or whatever it is. And I look at the clock and I see what time it is. And I ask myself, is that what a career author would do? And I go, if I say yes, then I move on to something else. If I'm like, no, I could probably do more, then I stay and I do more. And the way that I do that is I use systems. And the systems, then what they do is the systems allow you to put that on autopilot. So instead of always worrying about, am I setting my goals far enough? Are they short enough? Do I have to recalibrate my goals? What do I do when I hit my goal? Instead, I just go, create the system that puts me in the chair every day to write. or whatever it is that whatever it is you want to accomplish. Like if it's weight loss, when I had and still having some health issues, instead of me setting a goal of like, well, I want to lose X number of pounds, I said, I want to feel healthy. I want to feel good every day. So what does that person do every day? Well, I'm conscious about my meals. I count my carbs. I go to the gym. And again, like if I skip a day, it's not a big deal. If I skip 2 days at the gym, I know I'm cheating myself. Like I just know that, you know? So like I said, it's not in a direct contrast to goals. I think that ultimately we all have to have goals. Like we all have to have something that we want to be or something we want to do. I think it's my mechanism for setting the wheels in motion to get there is not the same as setting goals.
Yeah. And that that totally makes sense. And I will say that I'm kind of in betweener and I've kind of adapted more to your way, as you know, and as we've talked about. Like, I think for me, when, as far as my writing goes, like when my time was more limited, I think it, for me personally, it was important for me to set some goals, like to get this many words done, to do this type of thing. Like it definitely helped. But now that this is my full-time job, and with all the stuff we have going on, that kind of stuff, it's gotten to the point. And I think I've just changed as well. Mm-hmm. Like setting those kind of goals stresses me out. Like, try to hit workout goals and stuff like, and I would rather just like be in the chair and know whether I'm cheating myself or not. And that has helped me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm in a place where I'm kind of in between that. Like even now, you know, people who've been listening, they know that my weight loss story, like, I lost a lot of weight, but then I gained it back when I started being a writer. I gained most of it back. But like, even now with health, it's the same thing. Like I'm not weighing myself and I'm not counting calories and all that stuff. Like I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm doing exactly what you're saying. Like if I want to get there, what does that type of person do? Like I go to the gym, I make better food decisions. I don't buy junk at the grocery store, like all those little things. And like, I just do those things. And I know as long as I'm doing those things, like I don't necessarily have to measure it because it'll happen. Like I'll get healthy. So that's kind of the place I've come to as well. So I totally get that.
Yeah. And like, I've never had like sales goals or anything like,
and that's the thing too. I've been in commission sales jobs for a long
time. Yeah. Well, I mean, even royalties, like that's a really dangerous game to play with yourself because so much of that is out of your control. And like, you can set a goal like, well, I want to earn $1,000 a month, but like the market is going to determine that. Like there might not be anything you can do. Like you could work 70 hours a week and earn $800 a month. And then you're going to be like, fuck, I feel like shit. Like I set my goal. I came up short of my goal, but I was working my ass off, as opposed to, well, like, okay, if I want to make money doing this, I need a back catalog, and to get a back catalog, I need to write. So therefore I'm going to write. And you know, so I've had moments like I used to have word count goals for like different projects and things. But it wasn't like they weren't like Uber goals. Like the word, like if I said, okay, the genre determines that this book should be between 60 and 70,000 words long, I would break that down and say, okay, well then if I want to get it done in 60 days, I need to write X number of words per day. Yeah. And that's more like project management than goal setting. And I think that might be a sort of a variation on what you're talking about, but it wasn't like, well, I just need to write 1,000 words a day every day just because.
Yeah. And I work like that. Like I definitely, you know, use that in Scrivener, and the deadline is a goal. You can make that argument. If you have a deadline, that's kind of a goal. But again, I really would look at that too as just project management, you know, for sure. So,
yeah.
Well, good stuff, man. I think that made for a really interesting conversation.
That was a good topic. And I seriously was joking in the Google Doc. I was not going to shit on you or the topic, but like, I do think it's an interesting way to like, to hear the different ways people motivate themselves and really, to bring it full circle, the takeaway here is that you've got to be intentional, whether you're setting specific goals or you're adopting mindsets of people who do what it is you want to become. Either way, you've got to make intentional decisions about that stuff. And that's what's most important.
I'd love to hear people in the comments say, like, you know, do you have goals that you work towards? Like, do you do word counts? Do you not? Like, And or do you have a totally different method that we didn't talk about? Like, I think it's interesting stuff. And I love learning from other people and things that they do. So I'd love people to comment and at thecareerauthor.com and let us know for sure.
Yeah, please do.
So, well, cool. I guess we can tell people now, I guess I'll remind people to check out patreon.com/thecareerauthor if you want to consider supporting us on Patreon. Also, if you're interested in the Amazon product page makeover that I'm doing, check out theauthorcopilot.com/Zach. And also, I guess as far as our events go, I guess maybe we could start talking about Somewhere Book Show Summit, huh? We haven't talked about that in a while, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, because so, Authors on a Train is around the corner, and time's so getting tight for that.
If you're looking at next year and looking at the calendar, we will have the Somewhere Book Show Summit is going to be in Chicago that first weekend in May. Going to be an awesome time. We're really, really excited about it. Jay and I will be speaking again. We're not really sure about what yet, but we'll, you know, have something. So, but we're really excited. And do we want the little teaser out that we might have something else going around?
Well,
there?
You just did.
I just did it. So, if you're thinking about coming, like, definitely go. And we've sold a ton of tickets. I think we're like
70% or 70% something
sold out. Yeah. So like I would, and this is a, you know, a max of 115 people we're going to take to the Somewhere Book Show Summit. So, maybe don't book your travel yet, because we have something else that we're kind of planning. So, be within the same trip.
We're going to announce that within a few weeks. So yeah. it won't be something you have to wait months for, but we have something in the works and, just a couple more things need to fall into place. And then within a few weeks we'll announce it.
But if you want to check out Somewhere Book Show Summit, just go to somewherebookshow.com/summit and you can get your ticket there. Like you said, we're 70% sold out and it's only November or October. God, it's only October.
Yeah.
And it's in May. So I would definitely jump on that. So we'll have some good speakers and everything at that. So, and it'll just be a good time. So
yeah, we had a blast last year.
We did. There's a little video on there you can watch and stuff. So that Jim Kukral's daughter made for us. So go check that out. So anyways, with that, we will let you guys go and we will see you all next week.
Bye. Later.